Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad you guys are with us on Labor Day weekend. Man, I told the first service, I can't believe you guys all showed up. So I'm glad to see you today. My name is Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. Back in the spring, I had the chance to do something I've always wanted to do, which was to get my eyes fixed, to get LASIK surgery done. And so I went to do that, and it was the weirdest, craziest experience of my life. They put you in this machine with this laser, and the laser cuts a flap in your eye and opens it up, and all of a sudden, it goes completely dark. You can't see a thing. You're like, what has happened to me? I've just ruined everything. And then they do their work, and they put the flap back down, and all of a sudden, you can kind of see again. Your eyesight starts coming back, and they sent me home, gave me some really good meds, which was awesome, and I went straight to bed. And for like 2 weeks, I had to wear these protective goggles, these right here. And so I had to wear these. I don't know why I still have these, by the way. I guess I'm just going to hang on to them. But I had to wear these around the house. When I went to work, I put a different pair of like safety glasses on. But I wore these to bed every night. And I would put these on, and then I would look over at my wife, and I'd be like, hey, babe. And she would just roll over the other way. I don't know. Like, it didn't work. It didn't help me at all. But as I was going through life during those 2 weeks, just looking through the lens of these glasses, it was just a weird experience because I always had to wear those things. And everything that I saw, the life that I was living, was looking through those things. And in life, it's the same way. You and I are seeing the world through a certain lens. And our kids are especially looking through certain lens, or they're trying to figure out what that lens is for their life. They're looking out, and there's so many options in this world of how they should live their life and what is life all about. And when kids were little, they had a certain kind of lens. It was just a black and white lens, right? It was just yes and no. It was right and wrong. And then something happens, and all of a sudden they begin to see in color, and they ask, why? They start asking why all the time. And every single one of us, we said we would never be like our parents. And yet, we end up saying the same thing. Because I said so, right? Because I said so. It's like, don't ask questions, just because I said so. Well, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at four giant questions that kids need the answer to. Four questions every kid needs answered, and we're going to look at some questions like, who is God? Who am I? What is my purpose? And what if I mess up? What happens to me then? And today, we're going to look at possibly the heaviest question that can be asked, and it is, who is God? Who is God? That's such an important question to answer because the world is saying a lot of things about God. The world has everybody's got an opinion about God. The world says, look, there's no God, and you're just here by accident. Or if there is a God, he is distant, he is uninvolved, or he is an angry rule enforcer, so you better watch out. Some people look at God as this cosmic vending machine. If you put enough good things into your life, then you can get out whatever you want. He'll give it to you. And some people would say, look, you don't even need God. You don't need God. Just follow your heart. That's great advice. No, that's terrible advice, right? Just follow your heart. Create your own truth. Look, the world is saying so many things about God. What the world is doing, without you realizing it, it's discipling your kid. That's what it's doing. And so it's so important for us as believers in Jesus, whether you are a kid yourself, whether you have kids of your own, or you have grandkids, or you have young people, the next generation in your life, every single one of us has an opportunity to disciple our kids towards the truth. So we must do that. It should be an important part of our lives. But look, trying to answer the question, who is God, in one sermon? Like, I was talking to staff this week. I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is not going to go good. I mean, how do you answer that? It's kind of ridiculous thinking about that. You go, okay, God, he's eternal, he's infinite, he's holy, he's just, he's loving, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he is everywhere, he is creator, he is king. We could spend the rest of our lives explaining who God is and never reach the end of it all. But here's some really good news for all of us. Look, you don't need to explain everything about God to your kid. You just need to help them know what is true about God. In Romans 8, is one of the best places to do this. We're going to begin, in fact, this whole month, we're going to stick in Romans 8. So Romans 8 really is the topic for the next 4 weeks. But Romans 8 is probably, and in fact, some people say this, that it is the greatest passage in all of Scripture, the greatest chapter. Some of us didn't even know that. I didn't realize that. But it is so rich and deep, and we're going to jump into it. And we, as we go through it, it's going to help us to answer these four questions. So the first question for today is, who is God? Well, let's look what it says, starting in verse 1. Paul is writing and to these believers in Rome, and he says this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Right off the bat, the very beginning, it begins with this statement, which is an amazing statement, this promise. And I love Romans 8 because at the very beginning and the very end, it ends with these promise statements. So there's no condemnation at the end. It talks about how there is no separation. And so you have this incredible assurance that Paul is starting off with. And Romans 8 begins to give us this assurance, telling us, look, this is what God's done. Look at what he's done for you. Look at how much he can change your life. You know, kids need to know that. Kids need to know this assurance. They desperately need to know this because there's a world that's saying something different than this. There's a world that's constantly telling them, look, you must prove yourself. You must earn your acceptance in the group. You're only as valuable as your last best performance. And if you fail, you will be rejected. That's what the world teaches. But God says, no, no, no. If you're in Christ, there is great news. There is no condemnation for you. And so it begins with this great statement talking about this assurance that we have as believers in Jesus. And then it goes on in verse 2 and says, and because you belong to him, because of this situation, the power of, get this, the life-giving spirit. I love that. The life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There's a lot of theology going on here. But I want you just to recognize that it begins to talk about the spirit. Now, the spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the number one person in all of Romans 8. He is mentioned 20 different times. And what Paul is talking about in all of Romans chapter 8 is that he is life-giving. Meaning that God gives us something that is so incredible. And what it is a new life. And kids need to know that because we are susceptible to screw up, aren't we? There's so many of us, every single one of us have some things in our life we wish we had not done. And we feel terrible about it. Kids are the same way. And as kids go through life, they need to know that there is a God that loves them and will give them new life. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says that whoever has the spirit, or wherever the spirit is, there is freedom. Whoever has the spirit has freedom in this life. I love that about the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to us, is a new life. And then Paul continues in verse 3, which is probably the central verse of this entire chapter. And he says this, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Saying the law couldn't do what we wanted it to do to save us. It can't do that. And he says this, so God did what the law could not do. This right here is the shortest explanation of the gospel in all of the Bible. So God did. God did something for us that we couldn't do ourselves. What did he do? He stepped into our lives and saved us. Look what it says. It says he sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by By doing what? By giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. And so right here, I don't know if you saw this, but in verse 2, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Right here, God the Father is mentioned, and then God the Son is mentioned. And so you have the Father sending the Son, and the Son becomes the sacrifice, and the Spirit brings life. In this moment, Paul is introducing us to God. And he's saying God is one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But the Father isn't the Son, and the Son isn't the Spirit, and the Spirit isn't the Father. It's not. But there's not three gods, and there's not just one person who is playing three different parts. There's one God who has three distinct, made up of three distinct persons. Super confusing. I get it. One of the best ways that I've ever heard this is someone once said, look, there is one what and three who's. Okay? So what is God? What is his being? He is God. That's who he is. What is he? What is his personhood? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One what, three who's. Does your brain hurt? Like, you're like... Most people say, like, I didn't come to church for this, okay? You know? There's times in lives where we didn't prepare for certain things, especially when you're raising kids. You know, when you thought it was going to be great and you have a kid, and then all of a sudden it's time to change the diaper, especially you men in this room, and you're like, I didn't prepare for this, you know? I mean, it's just, how does it get everywhere? I mean, I don't know how that, we're buying the wrong diapers, you know? How does this happen? We're not prepared for that. Or as your kids get older, all of a sudden you have to have the talk with them, you know? And you say, I wasn't prepared for this. Like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to say the things that I'm supposed to say? And then you get even older and your kid calls you and they're grown and they say, hey, you're going to be a grandparent. And you say, I wasn't prepared for this. The same thing happens when your kid comes to you and asks theological questions. And you might say, I wasn't prepared for this. They ask questions like, well, who made God? Where was God before the world was created? How can God be everywhere at all the time? How can Jesus be God and also the Son at the same time? How can there be three and one at the same time? It's so confusing. So the question today is, well, who is God? Well, he made everything. He's always existed. He is eternal. He knows all. He's everywhere. He's perfect. He's holy. He's just. He is good. He is Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We could go on forever, like I said earlier. Or we could just start here by making this simple statement. God is the greatest mystery. He's mysterious. We can't completely explain who God is. You can't do that to your kid. I can't do that for your kid. The greatest theologian can't do that. And the reason is because we aren't God. We are finite beings, and he is an infinite being. In fact, the Bible talks about it all over the place. Here's a couple of times where it talks about it. God says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts in Isaiah 55. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. Romans chapter 11 in the book we're in, Paul says, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. Sometimes, maybe this is freeing for some of us this morning. Sometimes the most faithful thing that you can say to your kid is, I don't know. I don't know. I fully can't understand God. But, hey, let's walk together and see what he's like. You see, that isn't weak parenting. That's discipleship. Discipleship isn't you knowing everything and coming as an expert. And until you're an expert, you can't disciple someone. No, that's not what discipleship is. Discipleship is walking along in life with someone else and saying, let's do this together. Let me also say this. Kids can handle the deeper things. Kids can handle the mysteriousness of God. So we need to teach them wonder and awe. And it's okay to not fully understand. The problem is sometimes we give kids a smaller version of God than who he is. Look, don't give your kids a small God because you don't think they can handle a big one. They can. And don't panic when you can't explain him in one sentence. Because look, if you could explain God in one sentence, he's not much of a God, okay? It's okay not to know everything about him. God is mysterious. But here is the best part about today. He isn't distant. He's not far from us. In fact, through the next several verses in Romans chapter 8, Paul begins to describe this relationship and how it forms and how it's growing and how you're having to make decisions about life. And it's all about this relationship with God. He's not distant. And then verse 11 says this. I want to kind of focus in on it. Paul says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, he lives in you. Can we just pause there for a second? That's one of the most profound statements in all of Scripture. That the Spirit of God lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Look, he is greater than we can comprehend. But he's also made himself known. We can know him. We see through this passage that the Father has spoken to us through his word. And the Son has come to walk among us. And the Spirit has come to live within us. Like, that's a relational God. Yes, he's a mystery, but God is nearer than you can imagine. He's so close. God isn't up in heaven from a distance just looking at your life. For believers in Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Let me just say this. You can't get any closer than that. Right? There's no getting closer. That is the closest relationship you can ever have. And the good news is we can truly know him. You want to know the best way to know God? The best way to know God is to look at Jesus. That takes us from this just kind of philosophical knowledge of God to actual facts about God. If you really want to know who God is, you look at Jesus, who came down on this earth and lived as a man and showed us who God is like and what he does and what he cares about and what he loves. In fact, Colossians, there's a couple places in Scripture, we read them. Colossians 2 says, for the entire fullness of God, God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. I mean, I don't know how you describe that any better. The entire fullness, not partially God, Not like a lesser God. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. He is fully God himself here on this earth. John 1:18, John describes Jesus this way. He says, no one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, though, who is himself God, okay? And is at the Father's side, he has revealed him, which is, you know, the mysterious kind of idea of going on right there, that God is three different persons, but one God. But it's talking about how if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. It's impossible to fully explain who God is. But let me just say this. You can explain what he's like. You may not be able to explain who he is fully, but you can explain what God is like. Think about this. When Jesus in the Gospels, when he welcomed kids, you know what he did? He wasn't just speaking into their life and doing something for them. He was doing something for us as well. And he shows us that God values every person in that moment. When he touched lepers who no one else wanted to touch, God moved towards the rejected. And he showed just how much God wants to do that. When he stopped for the blind and the hurting, he showed us that God sees us no matter what's wrong in our lives. When he fed those who were hungry, he showed just how much God cares for you. When he calmed the storm, he showed that God has authority over everything that we may be frightened about in this life. When he washed his disciples' feet, he showed just how much God values humility. When he wept for people that he loved, he showed that God isn't distant from our feelings and our pains. When he forgave those who were crucifying him, God showed us his mercy. And just how great it is, even for people who would push away from him. When he stretched out his arms on the cross, you know what God did? He showed us his love. And when he rose from the grave, he showed that he is greater than sin or in death and anything that could ever come into our lives. If you want to know who God is, you look at Jesus. So when kids ask, who is God? Point them to Christ. In fact, Jesus says this about himself in John 14, 9. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What good news that is, that we don't have to worship a God that is distant and unknowing. We can truly know him. You know what? I think that for everyone, I know we're talking about kids, but I think that every single one of us is at times a kid at heart. Some of us are way more immature than others. I mean, I know you guys, me included, right? But all of us are kids at heart sometimes, and we're asking questions, even theological questions. And perhaps the question isn't, do I understand God? The question truly this morning is, do I know him? You got to realize something, that you can't save yourself. Religion can't save you. Your good behavior can't save you. So God did. God did something. God did what you could never do. The Father sent his Son. The Son gave himself for your sins. And the Spirit gives you life if you believe in the Son. Parents, your kids don't need to know or have all the answers about everything, even about God. They just need to see that you know the one that you're talking about. What kind of relationship do you have with God? My prayer is that when they ask you, who is God, you might be able to say something like this. Kind of decided to, let me try to put God into a sentence. This is not going to be the best, okay? This is all I got. All I can fit on a screen. Maybe this. When they ask, who is God? You can say, look, there is one God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's a mystery. But you can know him. You can know him. The Father, he loves you. The Son came to save you. And if you believe in Jesus, the Spirit comes to live within you and give you life. That is the best news in all the world. You can say that to your kid. And then don't just explain God to them. Help them know him. Walk alongside them. Pray with them. Read the word with them. Point them to Jesus. And maybe most of all, let them see that you are actually trusting in God. It's a high calling to speak into the next generation, but it is so worth it. When they say, who is God? Are you ready to give an answer? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Speaking to us this morning through Romans chapter 8. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to give us life here and forever. We're so grateful that you drew near to us. You are unexplainable. You're incomprehensible. You're more than our minds can fathom, but we can know you. And we're so grateful. I pray for anyone today who needs to know you for the very first time, to lay aside their sin, to repent of their sin, and trust in Jesus who died on the cross to pay for their sins. And I pray the Holy Spirit would come and live in their life, give them new life. God walking alongside them for the rest of their life. We thank you that we have a high calling as parents and grandparents and influencers of the next generation. We have this high calling to tell them about Jesus, to explain to them who God is. We just confess that we're not very good at it sometimes. But there's freedom knowing that we don't have to know everything. We just need to walk alongside them and do our best to point them to the word and how they can be saved. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet, especially in the most important relationships that we have. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.